AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Generals and admirals summoned to Virginia. Listen today as Secretary of War Pete Hegseth laid out a new direction at the Pentagon, including raising the standards for physical fitness and combat readiness.
But when it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it.
He also said hazing and boot camp would be allowed again and that racial quotas were being scrapped. He also told the generals if they didn't like the new rules, they should do the honorable thing and resign. The government is on the brink of the first shutdown in almost 7 years, a standoff over health care subsidies threatening to trigger it. Second detainee shot in an attack on a Dallas immigration field office last week has died, according to his family. He was one of three detainees shot. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced legislation to guarantee residents the right to access contraceptives. State Senator Dianne Hesselbein and State Representative Lisa Subek introduced the Right to Contraception Act on Friday. The proposed bill would prohibit state or local government entities from implementing any laws that would make it more difficult for residents to obtain contraceptives or information. The state legislation is similar to federal legislation on contraception access that was introduced earlier this year. With the federal student aid application period opening in October, a Wisconsin nonprofit is reminding residents of the services they offer to help borrowers across the state. The Wisconsin Coalition on Student Debt, or DebtSmart, seeks to help Wisconsin students navigate the loan process with free practical tools and a helpline. Organization officials also say Wisconsin residents have a lower than average amount of student loan debt, but there's still a great deal of confusion around pandemic-related forbearances and changes to income-driven repayment plans. Bayfield County is offering residents a new Universal Children's Savings Account program. The Bayfield County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved the pilot program, dubbed Bayfield County Saving Early for Educational Dreams. The program provides participating children with a $100 deposit when families open a college savings account before their second birthday. Families enrolled in the federal WIC program will receive $200. Bayfield County is the first local government in the state to approve such a program. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Judge Chris Taylor made a pair of campaign stops in northwest Wisconsin last week. Judge Taylor visited the Shawamagon Democrats' office in Ashland and the Washburn Public Library, speaking with area residents about why she's running and taking questions on topics like redistricting. Judge Taylor is currently running unopposed for the election next April after conservative state Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. Another conservative-backed candidate has not yet emerged. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks are new and improved. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. That's the message Bucks GM John Horsehead telling reporters on how they've revamped the roster after releasing Damian Lillard.
We have even more shooting this year than we had last year. Obviously highlighted by the Miles Turner acquisition, which was huge for us. He really fits us as a person, as a player, age-wise on the timeline of the rest of our team. Doc said yesterday he's actually younger than Giannis, which is great.
NFL, the Packers' Micah Parsons says he wants to meet this week with defensive coordinator Jeff Hatton after Green Bay allowed the Cowboys to score 40 points Sunday night.
We're just sitting down talking for 10, 15 minutes together post-game, and just like I said, bro, I want to meet with you one-on-one. That's the same thing I used to do with Zimmer, same thing I did with Dan Quinn, just about like what he sees, what I see. I'll take my personal time so that we can build that relationship together. But, you know, it's something that I do want to hope throughout this bye week that we come back and we start doing more things together.
That's the Packers' Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another warm day, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my God!
goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the Big House to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by the executive director of Block, Angela Lang. We discuss the current state of the gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today in the 5 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn, not only will she have another keyword for you for our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest, but she's going to be talking to Luke Baumgartner, a repeat guest from George Washington University. And they're going to talk about online radicalization and extremism.
Okay.
With an emphasis on Antifa. Should be a very interesting discussion. Join Maggie Dawn. Her show starts at 4. That's into the 5 o'clock hour. Okay. Right now, we are delighted to be joined, excuse me, by State Senator.
You make us verklempt, State Senator.
Also, yes. State Senator Kelda Royce is here. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Great to be with you again.
Well, you made your announcement on our friend and colleague Todd Albus program that you were jumping into the race for governor. So, Senator, for people who may not know much about you, and tell us a little bit about Kelda Royce.
Well, I was born in Marshfield and spent my early years in rural Taylor County, which if you're not familiar, it's north of Highway 29. My family lived in a one-room schoolhouse that my parents remodeled after it was vacant for many years. I now represent the Dane County area in the Wisconsin State Senate, where I serve on the Budget Committee. I also previously served in the State Assembly, where I helped fight against Act 10. I'm an attorney and a small business owner, mom and stepmom of five, and I was the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin. So I have been in the fight here for Wisconsin alongside all of you and your listeners for 25 years.
It's 25 years, really?
Yeah.
I've done nothing with my life, folks. I'm going to see you later. I'll be like,
oh, come on. No, getting the word out is probably the most important thing we can be doing. We need to connect with each other. And that's what you do every day.
Well, we are living in such divided times, Senator Royce. How do you come in as governor and try and get things done and appeal to everyone? What would be your first priority if you were elected governor, do you think?
Well, my first and only priority is making sure that Wisconsin is a place where every single family, no matter who you are or where you're from, that you have the freedom to thrive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly it's about making sure people have good paying jobs that don't just pay the bills, but let you actually build the life you want, mm-hmm. right? Give your kids the future you want. Making sure we have affordable housing and childcare, that everyone has access to good health care. And reinvesting in our public schools that have really gotten shortchanged over the last generation. So those are key priorities. And I think, you know, there's so much emphasis on the things that divide us. And that's a really cynical thing that I think the right wing has done with our politics. But when you actually listen to people and you travel all over the state, as I have, right. you know, for more than 20 years, mm-hmm. you find that we've got a lot in common. People really do want the same things. And the policies that I'm supporting are not controversial. They are supported by the vast majority of Wisconsinites. They want someone who can get it done.
Well, and I think, and we've talked about this a lot, especially when it comes to public schools, most people love their own public school. There is this perception it's that other public school that's the problem. But I like my kids' teachers. I like my kids, you know. And so I do think that there's wide support for public schools if it's in your own backyard.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the reality is that the vast majority of kids in the state go to public school, and it shouldn't matter how wealthy your parents are, you know, what kind of neighborhood you could afford to live in, you know, how rural your community is. You deserve a great public school. And we need to focus not just on making sure that teachers have the resources they need and schools do too, but also that our kids are equipped to thrive. So it's not just more money, but it's actually better schools for our kids.
It's really disturbing to me. And I want to say this goes back at least 20 years that we expect teachers to pay out of their own pocket for school supplies. When did this become so normalized that we just don't have the money to give paper and rulers to our kids?
Right. You know, and I think about every August, I'm always in a mad dash to get school supplies for my kids. And, you know, I try to get as many things off those teacher wish lists as possible. I send my kids with extra supplies because I know there are families out there that can't, you know, that will really break the bank for them. And the reality is, this is why I've been such a champion for healthy school meals for all, right? Because every kid will do better and learn better if they have good, nutritious, healthy food, that a lot of it can come right from our own farmers here in Wisconsin. This is a win-win. And think about the burden that that takes off of working parents, right? Even if you can afford all the grocery costs, you know, trying to get your kids fed is really important. And school supplies is one piece of that. But we don't expect firefighters or police officers to spend thousands of dollars on their training, you know, to go to extra schooling, to buy all their own supplies, to, you know, chip in for the fire engine.
Right.
And yet we somehow have normalized this with teachers. And when we see now ICE agents being recruited, people that have been rejected from police forces all over the country, people that are not qualified to be in the military, and they're being offered six-figure salaries and massive bonuses. Oof, that's a kick in the gut to the teachers.
Absolutely. And I want to take the education component and attach it to something bigger. And I want to reference something that when you came to our show a couple months ago speaking about the Wisconsin state budget and the news had come out, Senate, your colleague, Senator Hesselbein, got in the room, talked to Republicans, Governor Evers signed it. It seemed like we're like, oh, here we go. And you came on our show and you're like, no. And I was like, oh, no, what happened? And really, I want to thank you and also Representative Hong for being so vocal. And there were others, too. But the two of you being so vocal on what you did not like about this budget. It passed. It needed to pass. We didn't want to go back to old spending. But I guess the question I have for you is your non-support of this budget. What are you going to do in the governor's office when you get your mind around the budget as far as being governor? How are you going to fight for the things that you feel we all as Wisconsinites need in the next biennium?
Well, for me, it's really about what are our priorities. And the budget is where you show that. And I will say, you know, we've got a lot of good Democrats thinking about running for governor, but I'm the only one that has served on the Finance Committee. And knowledge of that state budget is incredibly important for our next governor, because we're going to have a really short window of time in which to make real change and actually invest in our kids. So for me, it really is looking at the fact that our kids have not gotten an inflationary increase in their schools in a generation, in 15 years. They're still not recovered from the deep and devastating cuts that Scott Walker made. Yep. And, you know, the other piece of it is we are shoveling billions of dollars of our taxpayer money to private, unaccountable voucher schemes, you know, and private education is fine, but taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. And the vast majority of families that are taking advantage of those vouchers are people whose kids were already in private school.
Yep.
The parents were paying, and now the taxpayers are footing the bill for wealthy people who want to send their kids often to religious schools. And I think, you know, that offends a lot of Wisconsinites, because we know that every kid deserves a great public school, but we can't continue to fund two school systems, especially when we've been shortchanging our public school kids.
If you're just joining us, State Senator Kelda Royce is our guest. She is running for governor of Wisconsin, and there is a tracker about how much we spend on public and private schools.
Yes, the Wisconsin, I want to get the actual name correct here. It is the Wisconsin. I'm sorry. You put me on the spot.
Yeah, I surprised him with
that. I will get it in the show notes. It's a tracker from the Wisconsin Education Action Network. If I'm getting that name wrong, I apologize. But what they do is they allow you to drop down into your specific school district and find out how much of your tax dollars are being siphoned. And I'm using that word siphoned deliberately into the voucher program. And another thing too, State Senator, it's not only people who children are already in those schools, but it's also to families who can certainly afford those schools too. So they're getting free education.
Well, and the piece that blows my mind the most is that there is no oversight body for these schools. They don't have to report to a higher standard. There's no one overseeing their graduation rates, their curriculum rates. They don't have to do the same kind of reporting that public schools do. And yet we're giving them taxpayer money. I don't understand.
And they don't have to follow the same laws either. Right. I mean, you know, these private schools, they can discriminate against students.
Against anybody.
Can you imagine? Against teachers in the employment context, and their teachers don't have to have the same kinds of licensure and educational requirements. And so... You know, again, I think parents can make whatever choice they want to, but the idea that taxpayers should simply foot the bill for wealthy families to send their kids to private school just doesn't pass the smell test.
This has been tried in numerous other states. I want to say Arkansas jumped in big on school vouchers. I believe Arkansas has also done the same. And there have been reports about this, specifically about the number of people who, as you pointed out, Senator, can afford private schools, already had their kids in private schools. They were paying for it. The vast majority of these people are the ones who are getting the benefits, who don't need them.
Right. And I think about the fact that all of us want our kids to have a great education. I mean, we want our kids to have more opportunities than we did. It starts with our public schools, and our kids deserve that investment.
And I think something going back to what you said, Jane, too, people love their public schools. They love them so much that they vote to raise their own property taxes for them. And I've said this before, and I will continue to say this. I do not have children. I do not have a direct stake in my public school system in Kenosha. But I voted to raise my taxes because I understand the effect, impact, and the long-term investment of having good schools in your community and how it comes back to benefit you as a taxpayer. So I voted yes. It did not go through because I think, honestly, some taxpayers are saying, why do I have to keep doing this? And it's, as both of you were saying, is because it's been systematically choked out and suffocated by one side of the aisle, who, by the way, and I always say this to Robin Voss, if you're listening, the greatest increase in a generation doesn't mean anything to me when you barely gave them any money in the first place. When you give them 10 bucks one year and you give them 15, that's not worth bragging about. And that's what you did to education, including 0K-12 increases. So, sorry, let me take a moment.
They dug a 10-foot hole. They threw 3-4 feet of dirt in and gave themselves a pat on the back.
Exactly.
Give them a break.
Yep.
Well, let's be honest about what's happening. And the property tax thing is real. These divisive cycles of referendums and forcing school districts and frankly our local governments to go to taxpayers and say, please raise your own taxes. That is really unfair. And it pits neighbor against neighbor because property taxes are too high in the state because of Republican policies. Republican politicians have hoarded billions of dollars at the state level. They have left revenue on the table by keeping cannabis illegal. Meanwhile, other states have legalized it. They have shoveled our tax dollars to vouchers and to big corporations and the wealthy, and are shortchanging our kids and forcing you, property taxpayers and homeowners and renters, to foot the bill. And it's just not okay.
Well, and I think the biggest example, at least for me, on how the government has not been adequately funding municipalities. The city of Brookfield had to do this, people. The city of Brookfield had to bring a referendum. Brookfield is a pretty wealthy community, and even they were like, yeah, we don't have enough money. This has been a problem. We're going to continue our conversation with Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce. She is running for governor of our great state. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
A small conversation can make a big difference. Asking someone if they're okay is important. And during the Suicide Prevention Month, check in. And remember, 988 is always open. A message from the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget our multi-state text win. Go for the Green and Gold contest is underway every day. We're playing for $200 in cash.
Oh, boy.
A lot of folks, we could all use an extra $200 right now in gold jewelry.
I could really use some gold jewelry.
I know. And then a great grand prize. Your next chance to enter via the Civic Media app only is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman. So stick around for that. Right now, we are joined by State Senator Kelda Royce, who has her hat in the ring to run for Wisconsin governor.
And State Senator, I saw an opinion piece come across the Cap Times 2 days ago from John Nichols, and this applies to the congressional race for Tom Tiffany's seat as far as his running, but I think this applies to what you are talking about, especially from where you come from, which is the title is Democrats Should Fight for the North. And I think that in the past few years, people have realized, oh, Madison, Milwaukee, and Green Bay aren't the only Democrats who vote. I think we've seen an importance of finding out what those folks out in the North, it meant not even if they're Democrats, just what people are talking about, because they can get left behind because people, Democrats, can sometimes say, farmers, they'll never vote for me.
Why should I go there?
Rural people, they'll never vote for me. So you're from the North and you hear those conversations. What do you hear from those individuals and tell the listeners why it is important to fight for the northern area of Wisconsin?
I think we need to fight for everyone in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. no matter who you are or where you're yes. from. And there are a lot of people out there who are struggling that have been betrayed by Donald Trump and by Republicans in Washington. And they have every reason to be angry and upset because he promised to lower costs, and everything that he has done has stabbed them in the back, right? He's raising costs. The tariff taxes are costing families thousands of dollars more in added costs for items. Our farmers are suffering. Meanwhile, he's spending $20 billion to bail out an Argentinian yeah. dictator and help their soybean farmers mm-hmm. who are competing against ours, who now can't sell their soybeans to China because of retaliatory tariffs and the chaos Trump is causing. So there's a lot out there. There are people who will vote for us. They will listen to us, but we have to go and show up. And, I think we have to, the tone sometimes that Democrats use to campaign, I think is real off-putting to people. And you have to be willing to welcome people who think differently from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of a, Midwestern value is like, we take care of our neighbors and then, but we don't get up in their business. And
that's right. Yes.
And I think sometimes, Democrats, or especially like on the left, you get a little bit of, telling people a little bit how to live and how to think. And I just, that's never been my deal. Yeah. I'm really a live and let live kind of person. I want you to have healthcare, whether you like me or not. And I want your kids to have a good school, and I want your roads to be well paved so you can get your, milk to the cheese plant, regardless of whether you vote for me or not. And I think, we've kind of, we need to show up in these places, and we need to listen carefully to what people are saying. And they have every right to be angry, and we can help them.
Well, and I would like to think that over the last couple of years, and especially when we had Ben Wickler as the head of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, there did seem to be a lot more outreach and a lot more people on the ground in some of these areas where maybe Democrats would not have traditionally campaigned. So I do think that there's more, right? There's been a greater effort to try and do some groundwork there.
And when you see our rural areas in Wisconsin, they are not as red as in other kind of similar states. And there is, remember, Wisconsin has a great history of being a progressive state. Mm-hmm. So a state that really has fought back against billionaires and barons and, the kind of corrupt politics that we are seeing now out of Washington. Wisconsin was one of the first places to fight back and say, no, people actually deserve power in our political system, not big corporations, not dollars. And I think we can do that again. We can reclaim that mantle and invest in our communities, and especially in rural communities that have really been left behind.
I think you bring up a very important point, too, in, as far as when it comes to Democratic politics, the inflexibility that they can show towards those who disagree with them. And then we'll have sometimes the temerity to say, well, the Republicans are so inflexible and immutable. Well, we all have our own biases. And it's a time right now, especially in these times, to sit back and listen to people tell us about their problems and why they think the way they do. We can't promise to change mm-hmm. our minds, but what you can do is promise at least to listen.
And I learned this, being on the front lines of the abortion rights movement, in my early 20s, right? I got to hear from so many different people who had a wide range of opinions about abortion, but I never shied away from going on Fox News or going on Christian radio, because I think it's really important to say, I respect the fact that you disagree with me on this. It's okay to have deeply held beliefs that are different from me. I've got my values, and, I don't want to regulate what's going on in your life. And here's why I don't want this to be regulated, because it is personal.
Right? Absolutely.
It shouldn't be the yep. And you can win people on that argument, even if they disagree.
State Senator Gilda Roys running for Wisconsin governor. You have many, many, many months ahead, I'm sure. I'm sure. Oh. We would love to have you back, of course. Thank you so much for your time, Senator. We really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Have a good day. News is coming up next, and then we're going to lighten it up with a little audio sorbet. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A group of Republican state lawmakers have introduced legislation to legalize the use of medical marijuana. The proposed legislation would create a new state program allowing growers, processors, labs, and dispensaries to obtain a license to legally produce and sell medical marijuana. The bill would also establish safeguards to ensure only people who have a medical need for it can gain access to it. The lawmakers say people with chronic illness should not need to cross state lines to try alternative medicines. Medical marijuana is legal at some level in most other states. Another candidate has entered the Democratic field for governor in the 2026 election. Weeks after stepping down as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Missy Hughes has officially launched her campaign for governor. Hughes has been with the WEDC since 2019 and highlighted various accomplishments in that role in her campaign announcement. She says she's running to help build a Main Street economy that improves access to healthcare, childcare, and housing, as well as investing in public education. The city of Superior is reminding residents to practice caution following a report from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, which found a significant increase in fall-related calls. According to Superior Fire Department officials, crews responded to 445 fall calls in 2024, which was about 17% of their total call volume. They're sharing helpful tips with residents on how to prevent falls, including staying active and taking advantage of services offered by the Douglas County Aging and Disability Resource Center. The Rice Lake Plan Commission has approved early plans for a new fitness center on South Wisconsin Avenue. At their meeting on Thursday, the commission approved the building site and operational plan for the proposed Olympic fitness facility with a 4-2 vote. While this portion of the plan was approved, commission members expressed concerns over parking needs and emergency vehicle access that will need to be addressed before the project can move forward. Olympic fitness officials say their current Hammond Avenue facility has no space for expansion. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's one of Pete's picks. I was late to the party with the original Dexter, but really enjoyed all 8 seasons. I'm really enjoying Dexter Resurrection. The show has the same mystery of its first incarnation, as well as the solid writing, but the Dexter character has evolved into a caring father, which complicates things for a serial killer. The talented cast that surrounds Michael C. Hall includes Neil Patrick Harris, Eric Stonestreet, Peter Dinklage, and Uma Thurman. It's worth a look. And in news almost nobody over 30 cares about, Selena Gomez and her fiancé, Benny Blanco, tied the knot after their 2-year courtship. The wedding took place last Saturday in California. Gomez announced the news on Instagram over the weekend. Taylor Swift was the flower girl and Martin Short was the ring bearer. Other celebrities who attended included Paris Hilton, and there were some celebs with talent who attended as well, including Steve Martin, Ed Sheeran, and Paul Rudd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high right around 81 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, another warm day, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, retired Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Chris Foran discusses great stories he's covered and talks movies. And Sean Hannish discusses the theatrical release of No Packers, No Life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on across the network, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. Not only will Pete have a word for you in our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest, he'll have that word for you in the 7 o'clock hour. Tonight, Pete is joined by entertainment writer Chris Foran, and also at 7:20, he's joined by Just a Bit Outside director Sean Hannish, and they're going to talk about his latest project, No Packers, No Life.
Yes, I want to hear.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. And Jane, do you know who Pete Schwabba from Nightlight is having on his show tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35? Do you have any idea who that possibly could be?
Would it be you?
No, I was actually asking. I wanted to know. No, it's going to be me. I'll be on the show tomorrow at 6:35 talking about the Milwaukee Comedy Festival, which kicks off unofficially on Monday with the Roast of Milwaukee.
Oh, that's so great.
Hosted by our friend Kristen Bry again.
That's awesome.
And then starting officially on Tuesday with Aparnanon Sherla, Sean Patton, who just is on an FX show called English Teacher that just premiered its second season. We have Punky Johnson, formerly of SNL, as one of our headliners. And this, for me, is the GOAT. The reason I do comedy. Patton Oswalt is headlining at
You're
the Pabst
so
Theater.
Excited,
yes,
aren't
I am
you?
Very excited. I just got goosebumps again. So I'll be talking more about that with Pete Schwabba on Nightlight. We'll talk more about it on the coming days. But yeah, it's tomorrow night, 6:35. If you want to hear more about it, tune in to Nightlight, 6 to 8 with Pete Schwabba. And you can listen on the Civic Media app if you're just not near terrestrial radio.
Yeah, exactly. We make it easy for
you.
Yeah. All right, this is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we like to lighten things up, take a break from the news-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is slightly news. This is news adjacent,
it's
we'll say.
News-esque.
News-esque. Bad Bunny has Love been him. Announced as the Super Bowl act for this year's Super Bowl. Bad Bunny, of course, a native of Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory.
He's basically a citizen.
He is essentially a citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a floating pile of trash, Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah. Not everyone is happy about Bad Bunny being tapped as the entertainment for this year's upcoming Super Bowl, which just got us talking about Super Bowl halftime shows. And here's the question for Audio Sorbet.
Indeed.
What was your favorite halftime show?
Yeah.
And you can go back as far as you want.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-752-4842. Favorite Super Bowl halftime show? Lots of them to choose from.
I also have a Rolling Stone article here that was put out last year of the ranked worst to best, so I see where they land on the list.
Oh, interesting.
Well. But
how far back does that go?
It goes back to 37. So there's been 37 halftime shows.
Okay.
It does not include Kendrick Lamar. This came out after the Super Bowl in 2024, so he's not on this list anywhere. Period.
Okay.
But I would say he's top five or top three for me personally. I thought that performance was amazing
from
start to finish. But yeah, I will say I being a petty boy.
Okay.
I enjoy healthy doses of Schadenfreude. I will say that the reaction to Bad Bunny when I saw it, I was like, oh, the NFL is just trolling them now, because they have been complaining for years. I don't like this. This isn't for me.
It's not American.
It's not American.
Why
can't we get some metal music in there? Really?
I thought they were just going to get Lee Greenwood for the next 20 years.
Oh, my God. So it did give me great excitement because I know this will be the most Puerto Rican thing that's ever happened on American television, and I cannot wait for it. I want every ounce of that performance to be in Spanish.
It will be.
And I can't wait because... As to me personally, it would be very easy for the NFL. And just full disclosure, Jay-Z is actually one of the people who puts together.
His entertainment company.
Correct. But they have to get it approved by the NFL. I'm sure they're not going to be like, Bad Bunny, deal with it. So the NFL could do that, Jane. They could have easily said, Lee Greenwood is our guy until he's gone. And we're going to have nothing but America and the... whatever country music represents as far as that goes. But they don't. They modernize something that can be easily kept stale.
Well, and Bad Bunny is one of the biggest recording artists in the world.
Correct.
Right now. He's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. He is gigantic. He is hosting this weekend Saturday Night Live for the second time. So he has got important... He is an important figure in culture. He
is
very talented. He's open-minded in his politics. He's very progressive in what he believes in. And I think all of those things, put him in a blender and pour it out, and that just makes people who just want football to be football for me in America just so scared.
It's 15 minutes, right?
Exactly.
It's a 15-minute show.
Not only that, when people say, like, I won't watch it, I'm like, all right.
Okay.
I don't watch the Super Bowl generally. I watch the commercials the next day.
855-752-4842. What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show? 855-75-CIVIC. Barb from Waukesha texting in Lady Gaga.
Yep.
She came from the top, right?
I believe so, yeah.
She came from the top of the stadium.
I think so, yeah.
That was pretty, I remember that. That was pretty crazy.
Somebody, I'm looking for it right now. Said earlier, they sent us a text earlier in the show. This is buried in all the text words. Prince, and that is one of the most legendary because he played Purple Rain in the rain.
And I'm sure Prince had that
exactly.
arranged.
He just looked
that it would be raining so he could do that.
I don't have to stop and think. This is from Rosemary and Aleva or Aleva. I apologize. I don't know the name of it. But I don't have to stop and think. Best Super Bowl halftime show was Prince, all caps, !! Times three. Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful
great
sight.
Show.
Yeah. There are just really good performances. I also really like it when old and new come together. Old, like, you know, you have like 50 years of rap music on stage between all these rappers a couple of years ago. I think that's very cool. But you modernize this part of it. There's nothing wrong with that. You also want to attract viewers.
And he's a big deal.
He's a huge deal.
Bad Bunny is a big deal. What was your favorite Super Bowl act? 855-752-4842. Carol from Waukesha. Calvin, we have a clip from this guy. Carol in Waukesha says her favorite Super Bowl halftime show, and this is mine as well. Little Bruno Mars. Can we hear that, please? It was a great show, I thought.
The halftime show?
The halftime show with Bruno Mars.
When you get a man like Bruno Mars on that stage who is designed specifically in a lab somewhere to entertain us.
Oh, it was great.
There's no way this isn't going to be good. Even if all the microphones went out, they'd be like, he still was great.
Carol, you and I are on the same page. Bruno Mars, fantastic, fantastic halftime show. Yeah. Who was your favorite? 855 855- 752-4842. Richard from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us. Who was your favorite halftime show performer?
Well, I'm a little in back in time, but I thought Paul McCartney had a great show.
There you go.
Oh,
let's see.
Yes.
I'll find him on the list.
I had forgotten about that. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Number 14 on the list of 37. He was in 2005. Yeah, that's a great, solid. Everyone can get behind that one.
McCartney?
That's
for sure.
Great. Yeah.
But he's not American.
Oh, he's not American. Oh, actually, I take that back. They updated this list. Kendrick Lamar is number 13. You're right. He's not American. He's
English.
Pre-America. We call him pre-America. Right. Calvin, do you have anybody on that you remember that strikes a chord, strikes your fancy
that you enjoyed?
Yeah. See, the one that's sticking out to me, and it's not because I enjoyed it or it was particularly amazing, but it's just because of the memes that came out of it. But Katy Perry.
Oh,
with the shark costume
guy.
There was other memes that came out of that performance as
that
well.
Was the baby shark thing
2015, and she scored above Kendrick Lamar. I call BS. Boo. Oh yeah, Lady Gaga did float from the top, of course, looking all Lady Gaga-ish, but yeah, though, I mean, that's the you
it's
have to get really big. It's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle.
And that's what Bad Bunny's going to bring to it. And I'm just telling all you folks out there who are like, I don't like Bad Bunny because I like America and English. Give yourself a moment. Close your eyes. Let your foot bounce. Let your hips shake.
Let the music move you, baby.
Have some chip and dip. Enjoy the show. It's 15 minutes.
Sue from Franklin, texting in on WAUK. The sad part is how many people, the current administration included, don't understand that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. Yes, Sue.
Oh, they do not.
You've got a point.
I guarantee you they do not.
Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory.
Yeah. They vote in our elections. They're not counted, but they still vote in their elections, and they can sign up for our military and pay taxes and things like that. They are Americans.
855-752-4842 for Audio Sorbet today. We are talking about your favorite Super Bowl performers. Who was your favorite when you look back over all the years? I also really enjoyed J-Lo and Shakira.
Oh, let's
from
see.
Just a couple of years ago.
J-Lo and Shakira. Let's see where they... Oh, yeah, that's number six, 2020.
I thought they were amazing.
Amazing. Beyonce in 2013, where she had Destiny's Child reunite for that. I mean, Goosebumps again, Jane. Goosebumps again. I love Destiny's Child.
Really?
Oh God, yeah. I love Destiny's Child. Especially the trio iteration. That to me, that's the classic lineup. Yeah, that's Kelly, Michelle, Beyonce. Bed Bath and Beyonce.
Ronnie and Horicon. Oh my gosh, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
All in caps. As far as best Super Bowl halftime shows. PJ in the live stream says the same thing. Prince was my favorite.
He is number one on the list. And also one that if you just want to feel some feels, when America had a modicum of unity, U2's Super Bowl performance after 9/11, where they ran the names of those who'd perished, and he had an American flag as like in his jacket, and like just it's the performance is everything. Bono just gives it all, and if I'm not mistaken, it's pretty sparse because I think that's what they wanted. They didn't want something big, but the way they pay tribute to those we lost is, oh.
Liz from Saukville texting in, she said essentially the same thing. She said, Prince and you two, I can't pick between the two of those.
I won't make you.
So who was on, what was the final list that they came up with?
Do you want to know like who's number one or who's number 37?
Let's start at number 10 and go up.
Number 10 is... Let's go here. Lady Gaga in 2017. Number nine, I'm sorry to say this, you're going to not like this. Madonna in 2012. Okay, get over it.
That was the worst cartwheel I've ever seen in my entire life, although I have never been able to do one, so just ignore me. Continue.
You never saw me do a cartwheel in second grade.
I can't do it.
Rihanna in 2023, who was pregnant at the time and just looked to be like, I'm here. That was interesting. Number seven, Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in 2009.
Okay.
Number six, Shakira and Jennifer Lopez.
They were great.
Yep. Number five is Aerosmith, Britney Spears. Four, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Beyonce, U2, and Prince.
And there we go.
There you go. That's your list. Look forward to having Bad Bunny back in the country doing some fun stuff.
When we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There's No Law for That edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The midterm gerrymandering arms race is on, with the current balance of power in the U.S. Congress 219 Republicans to 213 Democrats. Red states Texas and Missouri have finished manipulating their congressional maps. What states are next? Heeding President Donald Trump's call to gerrymander more GOP seats, Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed the legislature's new congressional map September 28th, splitting a Kansas City district to likely gain one more congressional seat for the GOP. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a plan August 29th, gerrymandering five GOP seats. A Democratic plan in California awaits a referendum in November. September 23rd, Democratic Kansas Governor Laura Kelly called for meetings around the state to hear public testimony on mid-decade redistricting and avoided calling a special session. Meanwhile, the GOP, with its supermajority in the state House and Senate, needs signatures from two-thirds of the legislature to call a special session for itself. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said in August that redistricting would be, quote, appropriate, but there's been no concrete action thus far. Ohio's redistricting committee met September 24th, ahead of a September 30th deadline. Governors Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire and Kay Ivey in Alabama have said they do not support reopening the redistricting process. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before the break, we were talking about Bad Bunny has been announced as the new Super Bowl halftime show. So we were talking about some of your favorite prior Super Bowl halftime shows. What was your favorite? I just wanted to get this one in from Chuck from East Troy. James Brown and ZZ Top from 1997.
Is that even in the list? My goodness.
That was the Packers Super Bowl in 97.
Okay.
We'll have to look back for that one.
New Kids on the Block.
Oh, wow. Ugh. So anyway, thank you for taking part in that. Want to remind you, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour with Tom Hartman is your next chance to enter our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Daily prize all the rest of this week, $200 in cash and gold jewelry. We can all use a little spiff right now. An extra $200.
Yeah.
That'll help.
I want to tell myself I'd spend $200 on myself and something fun, but I know it would just be
buy something for the house,
pay a bill, buy groceries. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks who could use some grocery help. So Tom Hartman will have the next word for you in the 11 o'clock hour. You have to use the app in order to enter, so make sure you download the Civic Media app. He'll have another word for you at 1 p.m., then with Todd at 3 o'clock, Maggie at 5, and Pete Schwabba at 7 o'clock tonight, and then starts all again tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour with Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Coming up for us tomorrow, Darren Von Ruden is going to be here. He is joining us monthly, and he is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Association.
Farmers Union.
Farmers Union, thank you. Tariffs. We're going to talk tariffs.
Talking tariffs, we're talking shutdown, we're talking about his trip to D.C. He does, I believe, a quarterly trip to D.C. where he and his colleagues go there to talk
and to lobby lawmakers.
Our lawmakers. We find out what he's discussing there as well.
So join us. Darren Von Ruden will be here tomorrow morning in hour number two. Right now, though, Calvin, it's 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one. This is from CBS News. Tim Fang with the byline. The headline reads, Bay Area police pull over Waymo robo-taxi during DUI operation.
Okay.
A police department in the San Francisco Bay Area said over the weekend they had to deal with an unusual circumstance, pulling over a driverless vehicle for a moving violation. San Bruno Police Department were conducting a DUI enforcement operation when they saw this robo-taxi making an illegal U-turn right in front of them at a light. So the officer pulled over the vehicle and there was no one there.
I feel like if you are the police officer in that moment, you get to throw down your stuff and say, dude, I'm going home. Like, it's just what's happening right now?
The department posted on social media. That's right. No driver, no hands, no clue. Since there was no human driver, they couldn't issue a ticket.
Can they issue a ticket to the people driving the car from somewhere else?
They say their citation books do not have a box for robot. Waymo, a subsidiary of Google parent company Alphabet, was contacted. A spokesperson says the self-driving vehicle is designed to respect the rules of the road. We're looking into this, and we're committed to improving road safety through our ongoing learnings and experience. I don't think that's
right. No, that's right. That makes sense. Learnings. Okay. Yeah. Two things my head goes to. One, this is a nice piece of information. It's a prime example of why the robots will not take over, because if they can't even drive correctly, then they're not going to be able to take over the world and make us their underlings. Also, I just think they're just going to program the car next time to go into high-speed chase mode.
And they'll just take off. Police say there is legislation in the works that will allow officers to issue notices to driverless car companies. San Bruno, among several communities where Waymo is in operation, their self-driving robo-taxis also operate in San Francisco. They plan to launch service to the San Francisco International Airport and the San Jose International Airport in the coming months. I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to wait for my first robo-taxi ride.
I would rather take a taxi ride from somebody who disregarded my request for a quiet ride, because at least I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I can't do drive. Just no. Sorry.
They're not ready yet.
Yeah. And also,
they're not ready yet.
Imagine if you're the passenger in that car. It makes an illegal U-turn and gets pulled over. You're like, I'm late now.
Well, what if you're in that car and you make an illegal turn and you get broadsided?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No. More like way less, am I right?
Oh, there we go. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman on the way. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump telling generals and admirals who had been summoned to Virginia from around the world they should use American cities as training grounds because crime has become a war from within that they need to fight. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, addressing those senior leaders, telling them the Pentagon is killing quotas, allowing hazing once again, and implementing new standards for physical fitness in the military, asking if your son enlisted.
Would you want him serving with fat or unfit or undertrained troops? Or alongside people who can't meet basic standards? Or in a unit where standards were lowered so certain types of troops could make it in? In a unit where leaders were promoted for reasons other than merit, performance, and warfighting? The answer is not just no, it's hell no.
We're just a few hours away from the first government shutdown in almost 7 years as Democrats and Republicans in Congress have been unable to reach a budget. This is ABC News.